We read from Isaiah chapter 12, verse 2. The Bible says, "Behold, God is my salvation. I will trust and not be afraid. For the Lord Jehovah is my strength and my song. He also has become my salvation." The choir in their opening number reminded us that America is a nation founded, built by men and women that trusted in God. Song says, "In God we trust. He is our fortress. In God we trust. His strength is sure. His mighty hand will ever guide us. This is our motto. In God we trust." I hope this morning that it is more than just a motto. I hope that it's more than just a phrase on our coins and on our paper money. I hope it's more than just four words on the monuments that dot our nation's capital and other parts in our country. I'll remind you this morning that that little phrase, "In God we trust," is the secret to America's greatness. It's the secret to America's strength. It's the secret to America's wealth. And it's the secret to the influence that we have around the world. In God we trust. And when we say "in God we trust," what we're saying is that it is in God we replace our alliance. It is God that we lean upon. It is God that we will depend upon. It is God that we will look to for every need that we have. And it is God that we will depend upon for everything. And I want you to notice that when we say "in God we trust," that there are some things that we're saying we don't trust in. If we say that we are trusting in God, it is not God in something else. It is not God in this and God in that. It is God alone. Because that's all we need. We don't need to add anything to it. And so when we say this morning, "In God we trust," we say, first of all, that we're not trusting in our natural resources or our wealth. God has certainly blessed America with an abundance of natural resources and wealth. You can go to the coal fields in Pennsylvania or the oil fields in Texas and Alaska and see the hand of God. The gold that's in California, the little bit of copper that we have left in Michigan, the rich farmlands that spread across the plains, the mighty forests that we've used to build our homes and businesses, the waterways that have provided power and transportation throughout the country, the apples in Washington, the potatoes in Idaho, the peaches in Georgia, the cherries in Michigan, the pineapples in Hawaii, the amber waves of grain, the purple mountain majesty, from sea to shining sea, God has abundantly blessed this nation. I believe we're one of the richest nations that ever existed. And our citizens through the years have enjoyed economic privilege that the world envies. But our trust is not in that wealth. We have enjoyed it and we have lived in the bounty that God has showered on this land. But we need to say with Job, "The Lord gave and the Lord hath or can take away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. In God we trust." You listen to me. I was reading in the book of Exodus this week, and I was reading about the nation of Egypt, one of the richest nations that existed at that time, the richest nation that existed at that time. And yet, when they hardened their heart against God, God stripped away every bit of their wealth. When the Israelites were driven out of Egypt, they were a poor nation because God took away all the wealth that they depended upon. And that's what God does to a people that begins to depend on their wealth. A people that turn their back on Him and put their trust in their money or in their physical possessions. I mean, look, God gave it and He can take it any moment that He wants to. He can take it all the way in an instant. He can send a tornado. He can send a flood. He can send business conditions that'll make the stock market go down thousands of points in a single day. And as a nation, we need to say, yes, God has blessed us abundantly. He's given us ample resources, natural resources, and he's blessed us with economic might. But our trust is not in that wealth. Our trust is not in those resources. Our trust is in the God from which they came. In God we trust. When we say that, we are also saying we are not trusting our military might. God has certainly blessed America throughout her history with a strong armed force. The Army, the Navy, the Air Force, the Marines, the Coast Guard, both active and reserve. And we look back with pride, and today we look with pride, and we lift up those men and women throughout the years, the men and women today that are serving in our armed forces, and we see them as a blessing from God, and we thank them for the sacrifice that they have made and are making today. And we live in freedom today and enjoy the freedom to come to this place and worship as we see fit. No government official is telling me what to preach today. There's nobody here making sure we do it the right way. We are free to do it in the way that we desire. And it's because men and women have given their lives, sacrificed their lives, part of their lives, to defend our freedom and give us this freedom. And listen to me, as we celebrate our nation's birthday tomorrow, each of us need to give thanks to those that have served and are serving, that are giving us this freedom. But our trust is not in our military might. The psalmist says in Psalm 44, verse 6, "For I will not trust in my bow, neither shall my sword save me." In God we trust. Again, go back to Egypt. They had one of the mightiest armies that existed at that time. They had chariots and swords and spears, and they were a fighting force. But a bunch of Israelites went into the Red Sea. And that mighty army followed them into that path that God dried up in the Red Sea. And you remember what the Bible says? He took their chariot's wheels off. Huh? I mean, he just made the wheels fall off the chariots. And when the Israelites were clean passed over, the waters came in and drowned that army that was so mighty that it conquered the world. In a second, in a minute, God, Almighty God, in whom we trust, took out the mightiest army that existed in the world. You go back and you read stories in the Old Testament, and you read about God's people going up against armies that you couldn't number. There were so many. I mean, they had 200 or 300. They had maybe 1,000. And they went up against armies that had hundreds of thousands. Sometimes there were so many enemies that the Bible says there was too many, you couldn't count them. You couldn't count them. But our God and the might that he had wiped out every one of them. When his people were true to him, when his people trusted in him, the might of man could not stand up against the might of God. In God we trust. We do not trust our wealth. We do not trust our might. We do not trust our leaders. God has blessed us with some amazing leaders down through time. Washington, Jefferson, Jackson, Lincoln, Roosevelt, Eisenhower, MacArthur, the list could go on and on and on. And God has raised them up in their times. It is God that raises up kings and presidents and puts them into power. And the Bible says when it's time for them to come down, he takes them down. But these that God has blessed our nation with have led us and have provided an example and an encouragement and just what we needed at the time we needed, they gave it to us. But our trust as a nation is not in our leaders. Psalm 118, the Bible says, "It is better to trust in the Lord than to put confidence in man. It is better to trust in the Lord than to put confidence in princes." In God we trust. And again, thank God for the leaders that he's given us down through the ages. But again, you go back to Egypt, and I was thinking about this morning as I was driving to church. Here was Pharaoh. I mean, he was the head of Egypt. He must have been a great leader to lead that nation to the wealth and the power that it had. But he could not stand before God. And when he hardened his heart against God, God took him out. Destroyed his nation, destroyed the army that he had. And so, if we learn at all from the history that's in this book, if we learn at all from the history of our nation, we say this morning, in God we trust. Not in the wealth that he's blessed us with, not in the might that he's given us as a nation, not in any leader that he has raised up, but in the one that's provided all of that. In God we trust. Now, in the same way, we as individuals need to make that same proclamation. We need to make sure that same thing is true in our life. We need to say as an individual, God, I am trusting in you. I am depending on you. I am leaning on you. For everything that I need, I look to you. I'm not going to look to anybody else. I'm not going to look to any other organization. I am going to look to God and trust in God. You know, there are many people that say, I have my trust in my heritage. I had good grandparents. I had good parents. That is my testimony. I had good grandparents. I think 3 out of 4 of them are in heaven. We prayed for my grandpa for a long time. I don't know if he ever got saved or not before he died. But I'm pretty sure that 3 out of 4 of them are in heaven. They were the kind of Christians that went to church every time the door was open. They read their Bibles. They had daily devotions. And I had good grandparents. I had good parents. They took me to church. I mean, from the time I was born, I was in church. And when I lived at my dad's house, he always said, "You got your feet under my table, you're going to church. You want to quit eating, you want to move out, you can quit going to church. But as long as you're staying here, you're going to church." I live by his rules. He drew some boundaries around my life. I went down to my brother's birthday on Tuesday, and we were talking about the old razor strop, that thing that Dad used to administer corporal punishment. That, you know, it was a razor strop. And, you know, he got it. They used to hang him by the barber's chair, and the barbers would sharpen their razors, their straight razors, on those strops. My dad had one. It was a 2-piece deal. And when it hit you the first time, the second strap came and got you the second time. So he got 2 for 1 every swing that he made. But I'm glad that I had a mom and dad that drew some lines around my life and had consequences for those lines. But I'll tell you what, I am not going to get into heaven because I had good grandparents. I am not going to get into heaven because I had good parents. And you won't get into heaven if because of your grandparents. You won't get into heaven because of your parents. If you get into heaven, it will be because you trust in Jesus Christ. He said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me." Thank God for good grandparents. Thank God for parents, good parents. And if you're a grandparent or you're a parent, you be the best one you can. God is depending on you to put into those lives, those little lives that he has entrusted you with, his love, and to teach them about him. And if you had good parents and good grandparents, you thank God. God for them. They are a gift from him, but they won't get you into heaven. They will not get you into heaven. They cannot pay for your sins. They cannot pay the price that you owe to God because you are a sinner. The Bible says the wages of sin is death. And we're all going to pay that price unless we put our trust in Jesus Christ. So as individuals, we need to say, "I'm not trusting my heritage. As individuals, we need to say, "I am not trusting my wisdom." Thank God for the opportunities he gives us in this country to learn. Thank God that he gives us the opportunities to go to school and to grade school and high school and college. We can. If you have a computer, you can sit down at a computer and you can learn. You can learn new things every day. And we are a nation that are blessed with an opportunity to learn. But you listen to me. Our education will not get us into heaven. Our education will not make us right with God. The Bible says His thoughts are higher than our thoughts. No man, He is truth. And we think we're discovering new truth. Sometimes people come out with an article or with something on the internet and say, oh, we've discovered this new truth. There is no truth. There is nothing new under the sun. God knows it all already. And He just enlightens us to let us learn it. And some people are depending on their wisdom and what they know to get them into heaven. But that won't do it. We need to say, in God I trust. In Jesus Christ I trust. And then some people say, well, I'm not depending on my heritage, I'm not depending on my wisdom, but I am depending on my works. I am depending on what I do. I am depending on all the good things that I'm able to do, and I thank God for the opportunities He gives us to do good. I thank God for the opportunities He gives us to serve. I thank God for the opportunities, as Gary saying a moment ago, to love other people. And we ought to do that. We ought to love God. We ought to love others. I mean, that gets it down. The greatest commandment is to love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, soul, and mind, and second is like unto it. Love your neighbor as yourself. And I'm so glad that God has given us an opportunity to serve, to work. But that service and that work won't get us into heaven. For by grace are ye saved through faith, and that not of yourself. It's a gift of God, not of works. Let me ask you this morning, if you're depending on works, how many does it take? Does it take one good deed a day, two good deeds a day, eight a week? How many does it take? How many are enough? How much do we have to do? It's not good works. The Bible says, in God's sight, all of our righteousnesses, all the good things that we have in our life to offer up to Him, in His sight are as filthy rags. No, we need to say, like it is written on every dollar bill we have in our billfold, like every coin that we have in our change purse or in our pocket, in God we trust. The only way to get to heaven, it's not heritage, it's not wisdom, it's not works, it is Jesus Christ. He said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. And so there is a narrow way. There is a straight gate. There, and that is the way to get to heaven, Jesus Christ. Nobody else. No other way will work. And so on this Independence Day weekend, the weekend we celebrate our independence, the weekend we celebrate our freedom, could I offer you freedom in Jesus Christ? Could I offer that to you this morning? Again, it does not come by anything that we can do. It comes by Him, by the person of Christ, who went to Calvary's cross, and when He went to that cross, God the Father put every one of my sins and every one of your sins on Him. On Him. He bore my sins. He bore your sins. He paid the price that we owed. And as such, He's able to offer to every single person the gift of salvation. The gift of salvation. The gift to have your sins forgiven, wiped off your record. The gift of a home in heaven forever and ever and ever. Have you received that gift? The Bible says in John chapter 1, verse 12, but as many as received Him, Jesus, to them gave He power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on His name. In Acts chapter 16, the Philippian jailer asked Paul and Silas, what must I do to be saved? And they said, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved. If you're here today and you've never put your trust in Jesus Christ, if you've never come to Him in simple childlike faith, and said something like this, Father, I know I'm a sinner. I know I deserve the penalty that comes with sin. But today I am trusting Jesus Christ Today I am asking him to be my Savior. I am putting my trust in him and nothing else. Please save me. If you've never done that, could I invite you to do it today? I can't think of a better day than today. I can't think of a better time than right now. The Bible says today's the day of salvation. Now is the accepted time. You're not here by accident this morning. God had you here for a purpose. And if you're not saved, that purpose is to hear the gospel and to ask Jesus to be your Savior. Would you do that this morning? Would you? And if you're a Christian that are here this morning, you go out of this place rejoicing. Our trust is not in anything else. Our trust is in God. And that's all we need. I read that story about the little girl that was saying the 23rd Psalm, just 2 or 3 years old, and she was learning Bible verses, and they came to the 23rd Psalm, and she said this, "The Lord is my shepherd." That's all I want. The Lord's my shepherd. That's all I want. And that's all we need if he's our shepherd. Let's pray together. Father, thank you for your word. Thank you for the gospel of Jesus Christ. Thank you that you made it so easy that even the children back in junior church can understand it. And I pray that we as adults would not make it so difficult, try to make it so hard that causes us not to understand it. I pray for those that are here this morning that's never asked Jesus to be their Savior. I pray, Father, help them right now to see that they're a sinner. There's a penalty for that sin. Jesus paid it. And if we trust him and ask him, he'll save us. Pray, Father, for each one that's here that has never done that, that they'll do it right now. They'll do it right while they're set. They'll pray the prayer that you taught the sinner to pray. Lord, be merciful to me and save me. And I pray, Father, in just a second when we give the invitation, if they've prayed that prayer, they'll get up, walk down the aisle, share that decision with us. Or, Father, if they need help to do it, that they'll get up in just a second and walk down the aisle. Let us help them. Let us show them from the Bible that they can ask Jesus to be their Savior. For the Christians that are here, Father, if there's something that we need to do, please make it plain to us. If there's something that you want us to do, something in our life that shouldn't be there, point it out to us, Holy Spirit, and help us to be obedient. And help us to make some holy decisions today for you. Just bless this time of invitation. Use it to build your kingdom. For it's in Christ's name we pray. Amen.